So I looked at these verses, I was reminded of the necessity of evangelism. And I know my brother will be doing an awesome job on that one. I've never been left this place without being blessed. So I would pray that we would all pray that God would give us the courage to share the gospel. Because it's only through the gospel that people can receive new birth. Amen? So pray for an opportunity. Take one of those tracks off the back rack. Let's try to empty that rack. Because it makes no sense to have them inside the church when the people are outside who needs Christ. Amen? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And if you're afraid, let God know about it so he will give you the courage you need. We all are afraid. We should be more afraid of what would happen if they don't receive that kind of material. Nevertheless, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass wither, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Beloved.
For reading the word of God. Appreciated the words of Brother Eric as he reminded us the purpose of worship. And we're here to worship. And so we continue to do that right now. And when we realize who God is, when we understand how important God is, the most important person in the universe, and to realize that we have the opportunity today to listen to him, that he would speak to us today from his word, shows you just how important worship is and what we do right now. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's thank God for this opportunity, and let's ask for his help as we listen, as our ears and hearts are open to the word of God. Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for giving us this just incomprehensible opportunity to worship you. And Father, we know that we cannot do that in and of ourselves. Father, we know that this is a gift that you have given through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we praise you right now for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We've been reminded that he died for us. He was raised from the dead. Thank you, God, for this great salvation that you've provided. Amen. And Father, we pray now that we would hear you. Pray, Father, that you will help us to focus our attention upon you. Help us, Father, to look at your word and look with a heart that is hungry and thirsty for you. So we praise you, give you glory, and look forward to how you will use your word in our lives today and change us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's make sure that our minds and hearts are turned to the word of God this morning. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, it's easy for our minds to move and wander from the text that is before us. So I want to go back to verse 20. Appreciate Brother David reading the Word of God. I want to go back to verse 20, and I want to begin there. And I want to read through the passage again. Now remember that Peter is talking about Jesus here in verse 20. So we pick it up, verse 20, and he says, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. At the center of this text is the command in verse 22. Look at it carefully. Peter says to love one another fervently with a pure heart. Folks, the most important thing that we'll see this morning in this text is that the power to love one another comes through our hope in God. That's how we love one another. Now, to really get a sense of this truth about hope and love, then we need to go back and we need to remind ourselves of the big picture of 1 Peter chapter 1 and then closely look at our passage today. 1 Peter chapter 1 is about hope. Go back to verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. We're just going to move our way quickly through these verses that we've looked at in the last couple of months. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Peter tells us that God caused us to be born again to a living what? Hope. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so being born again by the power of God means becoming a person with a living hope. And I believe we can even say this morning that one of the chief characteristics of that person who was born again is that person continually and faithfully hopes in God and in what God promises and what God can do. That's evidence that we've been born again, that our hope is in God. Verse 3 says that God raised Jesus from the dead to give us that kind of hope. Verse 4, the Apostle Peter underlines the certainty and the greatness of our hope by telling us that God's people have an inheritance. And notice that he says that this inheritance is imperishable and undefiled and unfading and reserved in heaven for you. Folks, that means that the future that God has for us is there. Amen. It's there. It's sure. It's solid. It's guarded by God. And when we begin to think through this and begin to understand what Peter says to us, then there is a firm, certain assurance or hope in the future. Verse 5. You see what Peter's doing? He's giving us hope. He's giving us hope. Verse 5. Peter strengthens our hope by telling us that not only is our inheritance kept for us, but we are kept for the inheritance. What a blessing. We are kept by God through faith. And so God sees to it by His omnipotent power that our faith does not fail. And folks, that's hope. That's hope. And then Peter confirms this by contrasting gold that perishes with our faith that does not. And he does this in verses 6 and 7. And he says, like gold in fire, God refines our faith through the fire of suffering and many, here's how he says it, many various grievous trials. But our faith, unlike gold, is not perishable. And that faith will bring praise and glory and honor at the coming of Jesus Christ. And folks, that is a solid, confident hope. See what Peter's doing? He's increasing our hope. He's helping us to focus on the hope that we have in God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Peter again presses for hope by telling us that the outcome of our faith will be the final salvation of our souls. And we will not perish. Our faith is secure by God. We will be saved forever. And folks, that's hope.
Amen.
That's hope, and that's living in hope. And then in verses 10 through 12, Peter means to increase our anticipation for this future final salvation by reminding us of how great this salvation is. And he even tells us that the Old Testament prophets wanted to see this great salvation. He tells us that the angels of heaven love to look at the work of salvation in the lives of God's people. Folks, this is a salvation that is full of hope. Full of hope. And then after 12 verses of exalting God and His work of salvation and giving us hope, Peter then gives us four commands. Four commands in the rest of chapter 1. Notice verse 13. That's the first command. He says, "Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, you've seen all these things. You've been reminded of all these reasons to hope. Then Peter says, now hope fully in the grace of God. Hope fully in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Verse 15, the second command, he says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." In other words, be holy like God. If you really hope in God, then you can't ignore what God loves and what God does and what God is like. And so Peter says, be holy like God is holy. Verse 17 is a third command. And he says, "Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." And so there should be a fear that our works don't show our faith. See, God will judge our works, and He judges everyone's works equally. And so there should be a fear that our works don't show our faith, or our works are not coming from true faith. And he also says that there should be a fear that we would treat the precious blood of Jesus Christ with contempt. There should be a fear that we would live our life without seeing the redeeming, suffering death of Jesus Christ as precious. And then, after he draws our attention to Jesus, he adds to the preciousness of what Jesus did. And then Peter gives us six truths in verses 20 and 21 that just increase the preciousness of Jesus to us. And folks, all of this, everything that he's given from verse 3 through verse 20 and 21, all these things Peter has given us. The end of verse 21, he says this, "So that your faith and hope are in God." Do you see that? So that your faith and hope are in God. Now that brings us today then to the fourth command. The fourth command that we have here in the first chapter of Peter. Peter says in the last part of verse 22, he says, "Love one another fervently with a pure heart." Now let's try to understand the reason for this command. Think about this. Think about the context of why Peter is writing this letter. Because everything that we have seen so far in 1 Peter comes in the context of the suffering and distress and trouble that's coming in the lives of these Christians. And it's coming into their lives. They're facing this time of suffering and this time of distress and difficulty. They're facing it because they are Christians. Now, it may be through the hands of sinful men. It may not be. But suffering as Christians is now a part of their lives, and God will use it to sanctify them. Now, this is important when we think about our passage today. As a matter of fact, let me say this. how precious the Word of God is, how important the Word of God is. And you know, so often we can look right into a passage and we can pull a verse or two out of a passage and we can spend time in it, and what blessings it is. But I share with you this morning that as Bible students, we really need to understand a specific verse or passage in its context. I mean, there's truth there. If you take that one verse, there's truth there that can be a great blessing to you. But oh, what blessing it is when we understand what the writer's saying and why he's saying it. See, that's what we're looking at this morning. We have the context. When suffering and trouble and distress come into our lives, folks, it can be a great challenge for us to love others. Great challenge to love others. So think about this. Because of suffering, we tend to think about ourselves, our situation, our circumstances, what's happening in our lives. You see, there's a real possibility that suffering can move us to be very self-centered. You understand what I'm saying? Eric, I know what you're saying because you've already said it. I know that you understand it. You see, and Eric's no different than us. When suffering or trouble or difficulties come into our lives, this is what we face. This is how we're challenged. You see, it's about me. It's about my life. And so suffering moves us into this direction. So Peter then helps us. He's helping these believers that he writes to, and he's helping us. He reminds us that it's not about us. We're involved in it, but it's not about us. Ultimately and finally, it's not about us. It's about God. It's about what God is doing. It's about God doing something in our lives. So we need to keep our focus on God. And folks, it's then about others. We need to continue to love others. And you put that together, it's about God and it's about others. And folks, that's what being a Christian is. It's about God. It's about others. How did Jesus say it? Jesus said, "Love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." See, that's Christianity. It's loving God. It's loving others. And that's why that Peter gives us this clear command in verse 22. He now tells these believers who are struggling, these believers who are suffering, and they're beginning to focus on themselves, and Peter wants to help them and protect them. And he says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And so our response might be, well, how in the world can I love others when I'm suffering? How can I love other people when I'm the one who's suffering? How can I give myself to the needs of others when I'm in the middle of this distress and trouble? I mean, I'm the one in trouble, and I'm the one who needs help, and I'm the one who needs love, so how can I do this? I want you to notice on either side of this command in verse 22 to love others are reasons why we can do it. On either side of that command are reasons why we can do it. Two reasons why we can love. Look at verses 22 and 23 and notice now the reasons. The first reason is this. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, then love one another fervently with a pure heart. In other words, our souls have been purified through obedience to truth by the Spirit of God, and now we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can love others. But then the second reason. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so that means we can love one another because we've been born again. We can love one another because our hearts have been purified, our souls have been purified, and we can love one another because we've been born again. And so this command to love then stands between these two reasons to love. And so again, let's think about this morning. Folks, if there's going to be any love among us at Faith Baptist Church, then it's going to be love in your life for others, even in the midst of suffering and difficulties and trials. See, that's the kind of love that Peter's speaking about. If that's to take place in our lives, if we are to love others even in the midst of difficulties and trials in our own lives, then these two things have to be our experience. We have to be born again by the Word of God, and our hearts have to be purified by obedience to the truth. Now, don't forget the big picture here. There's hope here, and there's hope in God. Now, let's do this. Let's look at the second reason first. We can love because we're born again by the living and abiding Word of God. Now, think about it. This makes sense, doesn't it? If we're born again, then we should be able to love others. If we're born again, we can love others even in the midst of suffering because we're new people. We have spiritual life. We have moved from spiritual deadness with no love to spiritual life with God's love. If we are born again, then the love of God has been placed within us. The love of God, Paul says, is shed abroad in our hearts. See, that happens because we are born again. We're new people. And so this makes sense. We can love because we've been born again. But what I want you to see is what Peter emphasizes here. See, this is how context is so important. Notice what he emphasizes. He doesn't just emphasize the new birth by the Word of God, and he says that, and we see it very clearly, but he emphasizes something very specific about the Word. And he really draws it out, and he even uses an Old Testament quote to reinforce the truth. Now, what is it? Look at verse 23. He says, having been born again, not of corruptible or perishable seed, but incorruptible or imperishable seed. Now, Peter loves this word, because if you go back in what he said earlier in this chapter, he uses this word several times. He tells us that our inheritance is not perishable, and our faith is not perishable, and our redemption is not perishable, and God's word is not perishable. Peter really loves this word. Why? Because Peter is building hope. Peter's giving us hope. And what's his point here when he even says that the word of God is not perishable? It's not it doesn't fade away. It doesn't disappear. What's his point? It lasts. And it will stand as long as God stands. And those who were born by it and stand on it will never perish, ever. Do you see the encouragement that he gives to these people? These are Christian people, and they're in the midst of hardship and difficulty, and persecution is beginning, and they're suffering, and life is beginning to get hard because they're Christians. And brothers and sisters, they need this. And I would say that I need this. And you need this. Any way you look at it, it's hope. It's hope. Now keep reading, because this imperishable seed of the Word of God, he says, is living and abiding. So this seed, this Word, has brought you into spiritual life by the new birth. And he reminds us that you are now connected connected with God, but as the Word is living and abiding, you will be living and abiding. You will stay living and abiding. And so there's hope there. There's confidence there. There's assurance there. Keep in mind the biblical definition of hope. It's not something, well, I hope so, which means that there's some doubt, but I know so. It's certainty. It's assurance. That's what Peter's talking about. Keep reading, because Peter then will say it again with Old Testament authority. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 24, and he says, "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass, and the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." And folks, this is about as plain as he can make it, that the word of God that he's talking about, he actually explains it in verse 25. The word that he's talking about is the gospel that has been preached to them and to us. Now, it's not limited to the gospel, but yet he focuses on that aspect, the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the good news that we've looked at in this chapter. What have we seen? That God gave the precious blood of Jesus Christ for our ransom. And God raised Jesus from the dead. And God keeps us through faith. And God gives us an inheritance. And folks, this is not like grass or flowers. It doesn't wither and fall away and fade away. It abides forever. And if this word is in your life, if you have been born again by this word, then you live forever. And that is hope. And see, and that's a confidence, and that's a hope that comes to us and is given to us by the grace of God in spite of the persecution, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the hardships of the life that we might now live, there is hope. And folks, what this means is that we have a word created, born again, heart of hope, and this hope will free us from all of the grass and the flowers of this world. The things of this world that we love and hold and treasure are just like grass and flowers that fade away. But when our hearts are new, when we are born again, when our hearts are filled with hope, when our hearts have a new life that comes from the imperishable Word of God through the new birth, then we can have hope in God and we can love others. So this Word and this new life and this love will last forever. Then let's go back to the first reason. We can love because our souls have been purified by obedience to the truth. Now, I look at that phrase and I look at how Peter gives it in this statement, and I believe that Peter's talking here about the same thing, but he says it in a different way. In other words, we can love one another because our souls have been purified. Now, that's the new birth. But then he describes it like this: by obedience to the truth. By obedience to the truth. Now, the truth in view here then is the Word of God. And of course, verse 25 says, "Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." And so it's all of that hope-producing truth that we've seen so far in this letter. And folks, obedience to this truth is faith. Obedience to this truth is faith. What the gospel demands is faith. Faith is obedience to the gospel. Now, Peter will touch on this later in the letter, but here in verse 22, this obeying the truth is the same as believing the truth. Obedience is the same as believing. Faith is obedience to the gospel. So we stand back and we ask ourselves, so how does this obedience to the truth then purify our souls? Well, it's faith or belief or obedience to the gospel that connects us with God through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. Peter says it this way, who through him, through Christ, believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Folks, when our faith and hope are in God, then it cleans out all of our hope in the grass and the flowers of this world that will perish and fade away. You see, hoping in God then cleans out the bright flowers of power and position and comfort and leisure and possessions and money and everything that the world offers, because it all will wither and fade away. All of it. And our hope in God will bank on the imperishable, living, abiding, eternal promises of God in His Word. And folks, when that is our hope, then we can love one another sincerely and earnestly and fervently with a pure heart. And we can love one another no matter the situation and circumstance that we face in life. And so Peter says in these verses, love one another. And love one another even when it's hard. Love one another even when you're suffering. Love one another even when you face distress. And we can do it because of God's work in giving us the new birth through the living and abiding Word of God. And we can do it because we obey by putting our faith and our hope in God. And when we put our hope in God and His work for us and His future for us becomes greater than all the glory that the world can offer us. And folks, that's what a Christian is. That's what a follower of Jesus Christ is. And our hearts will be clean and stay clean, and we will be free to love one another. Let's bow our heads. Father, it's precious truth that we have before us today. And thank you, God, that you give us an opportunity to look at it carefully, to look at it as it is in its context given by you to us. And Father, we desperately need it. We need to be reminded of what you've done for us through Jesus. We need to be reminded of this new birth. We need to be reminded, Father, of this gracious gift that you've given and the change of life that it will bring. God, help us. Help us even in the midst of trials and troubles, of distresses in our lives. Help us, O God, to submit to you. Help us, O God, that our hope is in you through Jesus Christ. And God, I pray even now for the work of the Spirit to conform us and change us and make us the people you want us to be. We thank you for Jesus. We know it's through Him. To you be all glory and honor through Jesus our Savior as you work in our lives right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.